99, proceeded.
Redbird Sports Talk. Interviews and professional sports news all in one place.
Redbird's playing a lot on the outside. Open three for Poindexter. Got it.
The quarterbacks just couldn't figure out the passing game.
You're listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
Happy Thursday, Birds, and welcome back to the latest edition of the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Joey LeMaster, and Jaden Cohn. What are you doing here, man?
I'm here. I guess I'm Julian Voss for today.
So Julian is out for the day. He's having himself a nice little trip in up in North Carolina. Pretty cool opportunities for him out there. So I'm actually producing and hosting today. Multi-talented, multi-tooled, right? But Jaden, thank you so much for joining the show. Yourself, we say, I kind of just call myself a Swiss Army knife, but you, for our department, have really become a Swiss Army knife. You are a reporter for the Bloomington Bison in the sports department, and we'll get to that later on in the show. You are on Second Look. You do a lot of news coverage, so... as I said, just Swiss Army knife, man.
I appreciate that. That goes right back at you, Mr. Sports Director.
Thank you. Yeah, hey, I'm flattered, bro. I'm flattered. But this is going to be a pretty packed show. We're going to be talking about a lot of different stuff today. Obviously, we're going to be talking Illinois State Athletics. The Redbirds got a big win in football this week. We're going to be talking some volleyball. Then we're going to get to Jaden's Bloomington Bison interview, which we heard a little bit about the Bison last week, but we're super excited once again to hear even more from Coach Barsky of the Bloomington Bison. We're going to talk some playoff baseball, NFL, pick six, obviously, and if you want to right now for our game of the week for Red Zone, go to the poll on Instagram. It is at WZND on Instagram. Go to that poll. Make sure to go vote for our pick six game of the week. On top of that, if you want to text in, chirp us about our sports takes, just want to chime in about the show, you can text our text line at 309-503-1033. Once again, that is 309-503-1033. All right, fellas, let's get into some Redbird sports talk, as it was a good week for the Illinois State Redbirds coming off that 42-10 loss to the North Dakota State Bison. Illinois State back in the win column, 4-2 on the season now after going down to Carbondale and beating Southern Illinois pretty handedly.
Yeah, that was just a massive statement from the Redbirds. You know, everyone kind of thought the season was, like, I don't want to say over after North Dakota State, just we didn't think we were going to be as serious. And going away in an away game in Carbondale against a ranked Southern Illinois and having that big of a spanking, that was just such a massive statement for the Redbirds.
Yeah, definitely. 45-10 was that score of the game last week. And, you know, Rittenhouse just looked very comfortable on that field. Passed for 172 yards, and he rushed for 84 yards with his legs. So he's been a great tool for this Redbird team so far, and just he's a good addition.
You got to love a quarterback that can do a little bit of everything. But what I'm just so impressed with is I want to say it was like a star player from this game. Everybody just kind of did their thing. No one rushed for over 100 yards. No one had reception yards of over 100. It was just kind of everybody helped do their own. Everybody pitched in. And when you have a performance against a ranked team where everybody's pitching in, it just shows how deep this team truly can be.
Yeah, I think we could kind of say it's all but settled. I don't know if it's because we saw Rubley in kind of a blowout last week, but I think Tommy Rittenhouse is the starting quarterback of this team. And as Jaden kind of said, probably... in terms of probably his best game rushing all season, no touchdowns, but 84 yards. That was he led the way with 84 yards, 172 yards through the air. I mean, Jake Rubley had the same amount of pass attempts as Daniel Sokowitz, and Sokowitz had a 28-yard pass. So that was pretty fun to see. But, yeah, just all around, just great game on offense. The defense looks like they're playing really well again. And it just nothing to complain about, especially that's a ranked win for this Illinois State team. So, once again, nothing to complain about here in terms of this team headed in the right direction.
Yeah, do you think Coach Back heard of my girlfriend and side piece comment? It was like, I fully got a lock in on Rittenhouse. That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, you did say that last week. So,
we'll see if that worked out. But I still do have one worry from this game because, you know, not every game's going to be perfect. We have not seen the production from Winkers Wright that we've seen in the previous weeks. He had 35 rushing yards this week. Then last week he had, let me see, what was it? It was just 24 yards. For our leading rusher, you know, we want to see more of a workload from him. We want to see him get more yardage in. He's supposed to be our star guy in the back, so that's a little bit concerning. But, hey, you can't really look at the negatives when you have a win as dominant as this. You want to know what's great for Illinois State? They have the opportunity to get two ranked wins
in
a row.
Yeah. I just saw that. So coming up on the docket is Missouri State, who is now 25th in the FCS, they've had some nice wins here. They're on a nice little three-game winning streak heading into number 16, Illinois State. A big win last week at versus Youngstown State. That was a 38-31 victory. Beat UT Martin, and they handled Lindenwood as well. So a big game this week, and you could pick up two ranked wins in a row, which is very good if you want to build if you're trying to build a winning program and you're trying to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're trying to build off that playoff resume. And I remember us talking about it. It was only during the weekend at Eastern Illinois. It was like, yeah, you don't want to overlook this game, but North Dakota State's kind of going to be Illinois State's one chance to make a statement before the playoffs. How wrong were we? Because then they got two ranked games right after that. And you get those two ranked wins, you're going to start skyrocketing up the rankings.
It's kind of funny the way it's trending, too, is like we saw Southern Illinois. They just got into the rankings as soon as they played Illinois State. Now we're seeing the same thing with Mo State. It feels like every week we're going to check GoRedbirds.com right before we're hopping on Red Zone and just saying, oh, look at that. Missouri State is now 25th in the nation. Southern Illinois 19th. So, there's a lot of good things headed this team's way. And honestly, I'm super excited. We have coverage of this one this weekend. Obviously, number 25, Murray State. That one starts at 11:50, so make sure to tune in here on 103.3 WZND. Before we move on, really, do you guys have any closing statements about this team? Just in general, the direction going forward?
I think this last week, that 45-10 win, it's just a good confidence booster because they fell 42-10 during their homecoming game against North Dakota State, but now they're bouncing back in the right direction. It'll be a good game this Saturday.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, so we'll see them as we look forward throughout the schedule. Once again, Missouri State this weekend at 11:50. But going forward, Murray State, Youngstown State, Northern Iowa, a lot of good teams coming up here. So super excited to see what the direction is of this team, and we'll have full coverage of that game this weekend. All right, let's go over to our volleyballers. Jaden, you have been covering the team with the Vedette just a lot. I mean, you're always bringing in audio, so, I mean, it seems like you're pretty close to the team. But they're coming off two big wins last weekend, both on the road, after splitting the first homestand to start Valley play. I mean, two pretty dominant wins at Missouri State and at Southern Illinois.
Yeah, definitely. So it's pretty funny that the volleyball team and the football team were both playing the Salukis, and they both ended up with the wins. So right now the volleyball team sits at 8-9, and they're 3-1 in conference play. So before this, I happened to be at CEFQ Arena, and I talked to Ada Shadowald and Kennedy Guest, and Guest won Freshman of the Week. This is her second time this season. So this is very, very, I want to say, just a great achievement for a freshman. Winning two times in 3 weeks is a great achievement for a freshman of any caliber. And Ada Shadowald, she's just been on a tear recently. She's third in kills for the MVC. She's just been on a tear. And Mathers, when I talk to her, she's praising for these players and just have high hopes.
Yeah, and I want to talk about Kennedy as well because she's a freshman. She plays the same position as Ada Shadowald. And it's just like, what a great person that is to learn underneath of someone as skilled in a veteran leadership like Ada Shadowald. And that's what's helping her perform at a level like this. And just overall, this team has just been so incredible. We talked about how last season they started off 0-9.
Yeah.
Now they're 8-9. They're on a three-game win streak. They're looking good in the Valley. And just getting two wins back-to-back for away games is just so impressive with the travels. Now they get to come back to a CEFQ Arena, which will be packed out. Not to self-promote, but I will be on the call against Indiana State, so make sure you lock in and hear me yap some more. But there's a real impressive team. They're heading in the right direction. It's just Allie Matters. She's finally built that culture. She has the roster of all this is the first team where all the players that are there is players she recruited. So this is the culture she's wanted to build. This is the identity she's wanted, and it's really showcasing.
I was there last time that they were home, and it seems like, I think I forgot who was the loss to. Give me a second.
Murray State,
yeah. They looked good in that game. It was just like simple little mistakes that can get fixed. But it kind of went back to that whole thing where it was like, really, besides Ada, who you see out there all the time, it was really just a whole new kind of new look roster. It feels like they're finally meshing, and this is kind of like, we go back to the preseason when we talked to Hannah of the volleyball team, and she told us, like, yeah, like, even though we're a bunch of transfers, that we have transfers, freshmen, whatever, like, we feel like we're meshing well together, and we really like the outlook going forward. And really, I think as we continue to go forward, you called the Belmont game, correct? Yes, you called the Belmont game. They won that in five sets, just a gritty win. And now you're going two wins in a row on the road. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. And it feels like this team is just meshing together.
Yeah, and I really want to gas up this team because, like, we talked about Hannah Reichensberger. She's supposed to be one of the star players this year. And she's not even getting that much burn so far at this point in the season.
Yeah.
So it really says how talented of a team this volleyball team is. It just, I'm super impressed by where they're going. And they were ranked highly heading into the season in the preseason polls, and it's nice to see them deliver on those expectations.
And I want to add about Hannah. When I talked to Allie, she said she's going to keep Hannah limited just because she's still coming back from that ACL injury, and she doesn't really want to risk re-injuring it or cause any further damage. So they're just sort of easing her in back into the lineup. But it's good to see that the freshmen up front are sort of filling in for that role for her.
Yeah, and that brings up two things I want to talk about. First off, I mean, if you're winning games, why rush her? But not to, you know, build any storylines or some drama or anything, but, like, if you're Hannah Reichensberger, do you get a little nervous with how well Kennedy Guest is playing? Like, how do you fit her back into this role when Kennedy Guest has just won two freshman players of the week this early into the season?
Yeah, it's an interesting question for sure. And I think, like, from what I've when we talked to Hannah, it seems like she really has all the belief in the world in her teammates. Like, at the end of the day, she really cares most about winning. And even though, yes, she's limited, I don't feel like there's any drama there. It seems like vibes are all good.
Yeah, the vibes are immaculate. And even though she's supposed to be sitting down, resting the knee, I see on the sidelines during a game, I don't think anybody's more energetic than her. She is always moving. So I know she's dying to get on that court. But just when you have someone that's that positive in the locker room and the energy she brings, like, I know she's helping the freshmen and the whole team play just as well.
And another player I want to bring up is Michaela Apiu. She's a senior transfer from UTSA. She's a setter. And right now she's got 680 total assists.
Okay.
So she's leading the Missouri Valley in assists and by like 200 assists, I want to say.
Oh my God.
That's incredible.
Like, she's just on a tear. She's always up front, setting up the hitters, and just she's a team player.
She came from UTSA, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of good. I feel like the direction of this team, and you know, Joey, me and you and Julian kind of talked about it. In our earlier episodes of Red Zone, it really didn't. It's like those invitationals that they got invited to, it was really just tune-ups, trying to get a feel for your team. And, you know, they started off 0-9 throughout those tune-ups last year, and it didn't look good. But now it's where everything really matters is just winning the Valley, you know, winning the tournament and going to the big tournament itself. So I think they're in a positive direction right now, and, I mean, 3-1 to start Valley play is nothing to hang your head over.
Yeah, all that matters is Allie Matters finally has the identity with this team. They're heading in the right direction, and I'm expecting great results.
Couldn't have worded that any more perfectly, Joey. That was incredible. When we come back on the Red Zone, we are going to hear from an interview from Jaden with Coach Barsky of the Bloomington Bison. We will be right back. 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation, back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Joey LeMaster, and Jaden Cohn getting ready to talk some Bloomington Bison hockey. I know everyone in this community is super excited for the opportunities that the Bison is not only bringing here, but just to get, like, somewhat of a major sports team in this community. I mean, everyone is super excited. Myself, I'm very excited to go to games. I can't wait to see what they got. Jaden, you will be covering the Bison all year for us. I mean, this is the second time that you've brought in an interview with the Bloomington Bison, and this will be the second time that we hear from Coach Barsky on the Red Zone. So, Jaden, you just kind of want to, you know, lay us up and kind of give an explanation of what this whole interview is about?
Yeah, definitely. So this week they held their first open practices for it's like their training camp technically. And during the time when I visited on Wednesday, I talked to Coach Barsky and one of the players, and he's just, the whole organization is just, it seems very organized. I checked out the ice rink and the arena, and it's just a very beautiful logo laid out. Yeah. They have very nice, like, staff and organization. It's just very organized for an ECHL, like, I want to say league in hockey.
Yeah.
So it's just great.
As I said, I think everyone's super excited for this team. I can't wait to see what ends up happening with this Bloomington Bison team. But before that, you're going to hear from Coach Barsky of the Bloomington Bison.
So, Coach, practice has been going on for a couple days now. What's been the most beneficial thing you've seen so far?
I think the camaraderie with the players. We deliberately tried to do that in the summer in our recruiting process, where we were hoping to have some bonds already established before they come into training camp, and I think we're witnessing sort of the detail of our recruiting.
Have you faced any challenges through these past couple of days?
It's the ECHL, so the answer is yes, 100%. Okay. There's this league is not for the faint of heart. You get hit with a lot of different things, and you got to be able to withstand those challenges and turn them into opportunities for growth, and I think it's something that us as a staff have done a tremendous job of.
And then how do you plan on going about these issues with the ECHL?
It's nothing against the ECHL, it's just the nature of the league, right? You're dealing with, especially with our situation, we have two different affiliates, so you got to work through those things. We also had a player that didn't pass his physical, so you got to deal with that stuff. And then just the day in and day out, I mean, you got 30 professional athletes coming here every day, and we want to make sure that it's to the standard that we expect. And in order to do that, there's challenges that are presented every day. And as I said earlier, I think our staff as a hockey ops group have done a tremendous job working together, communicating, and supporting one another, which, you know, I think is hugely important. And it should be noted that we really get along as a staff, and I think that helps us, you know, deal with the opportunities and challenges, you know, that we're incurring.
And I talked to you a couple of weeks ago on the phone, and you brought up learning through analytics.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk more on that and how that has impacted you?
Yeah, obviously the analytic tool that we built out and the scouting staff that we have, our assistant general manager Dan Larmer and our assistant coach Jesse Messier, we tried to identify players that we thought could play the brand of hockey that we want to play. And over the first 3 days, we're seeing a lot of those things play out and come to fruition. It's been really nice to witness that and have the players that we thought their game would translate or transfer well to this level demonstrate that they are transferring, you know, very well to this level.
And then I noticed online your roster sheet has been published. Could you talk on that too?
Yeah, well, I think that goes to the front office staff, and we've built out that division as well. In all honesty, we've had 24 players signed to ECHL contracts and 4 players on PTOs for probably the better part of the last 8 weeks. We just, you know, we were sort of waiting on the front office to get, you know, fill their roles in order for us to spotlight or showcase that to our fans and to our community. And obviously, you know, Andy, our director of communication, deserves a lot of credit for that.
And then, are there any players on the roster sheet that you've noticed has done well in practice such far?
Yeah, there's been some, you know, we've talked internally, Dan, myself, and Jesse, that there's been some real pleasant surprises, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to have a larger training camp, is to allow those players to spotlight, you know, their abilities and their ability for their game to transfer to this level. And, you know, I won't go into specific guys. I think that's a little premature right now, and obviously we don't want to disclose too much. But we've definitely had, you know, a few internal conversations about 3 or 4 players that have really, you know, made an impact on us.
For the residents of the community coming out to the game, what do you have to say to them?
I think it's an exciting time in Bloomington. Everyone I speak to, we've had 3 minor hockey coaches here for the last 2 days. I know they're super excited. Wherever I go, whether it's, you know, to get my hair cut or, you know, go get my car fixed, you know, there seems to be a insatiable appetite for pro hockey here in the Bloomington area. There's a real buzz around the team right now. You know, obviously it's an exhibition game, but it's also an exhibition game for all of us, for us as a coaching staff, for the players, for our front office staff, our game day hockey operations. Like, it gives everybody an opportunity to sort of get a dress rehearsal under their belt before we start for real, you know, the following Saturday.
And then what's your game plan going into next week?
Next week we should have some more clarity from our affiliates on sort of the players that will be coming down to us. And then, you know, starting Monday, even though it's still training camp based on ECHL guidelines, you know, we're treating it more as the preparation for our home opening weekend against Toledo, which is a very formidable opponent right off the hop. So that's kind of the way we're going to be approaching next week, is just really building on some of the systems and the structure that we shared with the players this week, and just continuing that onboarding process for our players in order to put a, you know, a solid foot forward in our home opening weekend.
Back here on the Red Zone. Once again, thank you so much, Coach Barsky, for sitting down with Jaden and talking a little bit about the Bloomington Bison and really just like the future of the organization. Everything there seems super exciting.
And I got to give a shout out to Andy Zilch. He's their sports communication guy. He just set me up with Coach Barsky and just made the whole interview process so smooth. And I'm really looking forward to cover this team. And previewing the schedule, they have their first game next Saturday, October 19th, against Toledo. And they have a magnet giveaway.
How about that? is that a magnet schedule?
Yeah, magnet schedule giveaway.
Either way, might not put butts in seats, but I think that they're going to do super well this year. And I mean, it's just super exciting for this entire community. So we're going to have Bloomington Bison coverage all season long, and we're super excited to bring that. But for the time being, before we go to commercial break, we're going to talk a little college football, and we're joined on the show now by one of our awesome interns, Connor Allen. Connor, thank you so much for joining the show.
Yes, thank you guys for having me. Really excited to be here.
Of course.
So this has been the weekend that everybody has been talking about for months. Since the college football schedule released, everyone's like, you know, fall is a popular time for weddings. And there was this big debate online for this weekend specifically. What weekend are we in? Week 7 of college football?
Yep.
If you scheduled a wedding on week 7 of college football season, do you go to the wedding or do you sit down and watch college football?
Oh, I sit down and watch college football. With all due respect, like, unless I'm the one getting married, I'm not attending. Even if I was married, it's still 50-50 if I'm showing up. Like,
there's some phenomenal games on the this list, and I think some of the games were setting up to be even greater until, you know, some teams dropped out of the rankings throughout the year and whatnot. But I think it really starts the big one early in the day, 2:30, the Red River rivalry, one of the best games of the year always, Texas and Oklahoma. Is Arch starting?
It's yours.
It is yours.
Yours is huge.
Either way, this one's going to be exciting. Texas is back to being the number one team in the country after whatever happened to Alabama last weekend. That was just an incredible win for Vanderbilt. Goalposts in the river. I mean, you couldn't script it any better, but Texas back at number one. I mean, this one is just got, you know, upset written over it. I don't know. You never know with the Red River rivalry.
I'm just so excited for this game, and Oklahoma's giving me a little bit of deja vu. Remember when they had like Rattler and it wasn't going too well, so they brought Caleb in? So they had this Jackson Arnold guy coming and it wasn't working. So now Casey Thompson's in, and he has just been electric for them so far when he's been playing. So I think he's gonna bring even more excitement. This game's gonna be fireworks, and first time they're playing in the SEC.
Oh, I didn't even think about that either. Yeah, that's crazy to think about. It's been Big 12 country for so long, and now it's SEC. Make it make sense. No,
and then it gets even bigger after that at 7:30.
Yeah, are we talking Ohio State, Oregon?
Yeah,
we're talking
2-3.
Yeah, this is just this early in the season, Ohio State, Oregon, and the stakes are even higher now that they're in the same conference. I would not be shocked if we're seeing these two teams again at the end of the year playing one another. But, yeah, just Ohio State, Oregon, you guys could really take this one however you want to. Go ahead and run with it.
Yeah, I'm just a big Jeremiah Smith fan. The freshman receivers they got going on in college football are ridiculous. I don't know what's going on with this class, but they've just been so incredible. And I've kind of talked it on here, not too much. I'm just not completely sold on Oregon. I haven't been throughout the season, and I've never really been a Dylan Gabriel enjoyer. But I'm going to be honest, as exciting as this game is, this might be the most boring quarterback matchup of all time.
Yeah.
Will Howard versus Dylan Gabriel. That's an actual snooze fest. But the rest of the players in this game are so exciting. This game will still be fireworks. However, I'm expecting Ohio State to win by a comfortable margin.
You guys got anything?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, quarterback matchup. Those are two quarterbacks who are incredibly consistent, not flashy quarterbacks. So they're not going to like wow you with anything.
Yeah,
but they're gonna get the job done, Will Howard and Dylan Gabriel. But yeah, that's a good matchup, 2-3. Should be a great game in the Big Ten.
There's just a lot. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jaden.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
There's just a lot of great, like, matchups this week. And that might not necessarily, some of them might not be ranked, but, like, you got Kansas State, Colorado, Iowa State, West Virginia, Iowa State currently 5-0 and 11th in the country.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, LSU. One game I do want to talk about, and it's not necessarily a game, but it's a player. Ashton Gentry is, like, the greatest thing I've ever seen. it's absurd. I mean, last week I saw that, like, it was, like, almost a lock to bet him 3 touchdowns, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, it was minus 250.
Something crazy like that. For a player to score 3 touchdowns in a game, and, of course, on the first handoff he gets, what does he bring it to the house for 61 yards? It's like, how is this guy doing it? He's running away with the Heisman right now.
It's just so funny just watching him in the backfield before a step. He's literally just standing there like Michael Myers. Like, he's not in football position at all. Then he just locks in, and he's just there to catch bodies. Like, we talk about, like, for us growing up, like the Tavon Austin highlight reel. This current middle school, high school generation, they're going to be talking about this guy. And, man, like, I low-key wish I was there for this generation with, like, my Nike Elites on and my loafers. Like, I wish I was watching Ashton Gentry play.
He's definitely going to go to the draft after this year. Where does, like, a player like him get picked? Because it's not – is it up to, like, the Bijan hype now? It's got to be, right?
I think it's exceeded the Bijan hype. No question. Because, like, Bijan was exciting, but we weren't really having that many Bijan Heisman conversations, let alone, like, unanimous.
Yeah, but it was just, like, Bijan, like, there was a point where they were like, oh, he might be the number one pick, he might be the number one pick. Do we think Gentry's the number one pick?
I mean,
it depends who obviously the team is, but...
I think it's going to be Travis Hunter. It's just, it's not going to be a quarterback this year, so who knows what's going to happen.
I have no idea. You guys got anything else to say before we wrap up this college football segment?
I'd like to see him on New England. I think he would just fit in with their offense. Like, yes, New England has Stevenson right now, but you put them two and two together, I think that'll look good for New England.
100%.
Giants need a running back, too. They have good luck drafting running backs first round. Got Saquon, 2018 was that?
Yeah.
Raiders need a running back. I mean, he could go top 10, and I don't think that's like a crazy thing to say at all. So.
Oh, it's not ridiculous.
No.
And I know this isn't really going to work because Kenneth Walker's really good, but like, I like storylines. He just reminds me of Marshawn Lynch so much. So if he was in a Seattle uniform, I would be so moved.
All right, well, that's all we got for college football. Let's go Irish. And, you know, if Julian was here right now, he'd say, go Fighting Illini. I mean, they're going to absolutely wallop Purdue this weekend.
I hope not.
Either way, when we come back on the Red Zone, we're going to be talking some playoff baseball. We'll be back in a few. WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Jaden Cohen, Connor Allen joins us, and Joey LeMaster. And we're going to be talking some playoff baseball for the next 15 minutes as this postseason has just been absolutely incredible and I think has lived up to every single person's expectations. Right now, as we're speaking, the Guardians and Tigers are currently in the top of the fifth, where the Guardians lead 2-1. They are fighting for their playoff lives in Detroit because if they go down tonight, it's over for them, and the gritty Tigers keep on going. Let's start there, because the Tigers have just been one of the best stories in Major League Baseball. Unbelievable odds going back to August. Just 0.2% chance to make the playoffs, now into the playoffs, in the ALDS, and they're a game away from going to the ALCS and facing either the Royals or Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, they have one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in baseball, and Tarik Skubal, who had a great game, too, kind of brought him right back into the series. And their hitters have been amazing this year. I mean, Riley Green, outstanding. Spencer Torkelson's been turning it up lately. Parker Meadows, Kerry Carpenter's had a great rookie year. This is a really good team. Actually, Guardians just took 2-1 lead.
Yeah, it was a Jose Ramirez home run gave them the lead. So Guardians up 2-1 in Detroit. But yeah, Jaden, did you have anything to say about the Tigers?
Yeah, the Tigers this year honestly remind me a little bit of the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
And their playoff run. They're sort of the underdog in this playoff series. And I think it's just a nice matchup of the American League Central just battling it out. So I like to see the underdog story continue.
It's a testament to how just exciting and thrilling that the Major League Baseball postseason is in general. We've seen over the last couple of years some of these miracle runs, like going back, and it's really been since the six-man formats opened up. The Phillies were a 5 seed, I think, in 2020. 2, would it have been? Yeah. The Phillies were a 5 seed. No one expected them to make the World Series. They made all the way to the World Series, ended up losing to the Houston Astros. Once again, we see the 6 seed last year, Arizona Diamondbacks. They went into Los Angeles last year and swept the Dodgers and ended up going to the World Series. Once again, lost to the Texas Rangers, but still, it was just like one of those runs. And right now, it feels like we're seeing multiple teams, not just the Tigers, who we've been talking about for a little bit, but teams we'll get to in a little bit, like the Padres and the Mets, who are, you know, all vying, and the Royals, too, who are all vying for, like, that Diamondbacks-Phillies-type run.
It's a very heavy underdog playoff, I want to say. Just, you talked about the Mets, you talked about the Padres, talked about the Tigers. Like, they're all the lower seed, but it's a interesting and fun-to-watch playoff run we got here.
Yeah, and as we said, the Tigers, I mean, Connor kind of put it best. It's just a team that, you know, they have Skubal. That's their star, 100%, and he's going to win the Cy Young. He won the Triple Crown for pitching. But, you know, it's a bunch of names that I feel like not even the most casual baseball fans know. It's a bunch of guys that just kind of came together and said, you know what? You know, they traded their second-best player at the trade deadline to the Dodgers. And they still found a way to turn around and just really go on this run. They've been playing postseason baseball, essentially, for the last month and a half. And it's kind of similar to that 2011 Cardinals run. I keep going back to that, and that team ended up winning the World Series.
I mean, you could talk all you want about stars, but at the end of the day, when it comes down to sports, nothing beats the power of friendship, and that's just what the Detroit Tigers have been riding with.
And I always see the memes, too. It's like, I always see with the Dodgers, especially. It's like the 70. One of the funny ones was at the beginning of the year. It was like the 81 win Marlins, the power of friendship beating the $1 billion Dodgers and Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, all that. It's funny. It's funny to think about, but it really is true. I mean, that's why. And I mean, baseball clubhouses—they're with each other for so long, and I think it really does make a difference if the team is actually just grinding out at bats and actually enjoying being around each other. All right, so tonight we have the Yankees and Royals. The Yankees can close this series out. It was a hard-fought win last night for them. They ended up pulling through 3-2 when Giancarlo Stanton sent one over the wall in the eighth inning to put the nail in the coffin. 2-1 in Kansas City. Man, I would really love to see this one get forced back to Yankee Stadium.
I'm daring Aaron Judge to contribute for this series. So, like, if you want to get a hit or two, I challenge him. Because earlier, when we first did our first episode of Red Zone, we were kind of comparing him to Mike Trout. And they kind of had the similarities where you don't see him in October. So, like, let's see if it keeps going.
Go ahead, Goddard.
Yeah, I would love to see us go back to Yankee Stadium. I mean, Kansas City's a tough environment to play in, especially in the playoffs. That's another team that's, you know, similar to Detroit, kind of came out of nowhere this year. Bobby Witt Jr., top five player in baseball.
Yeah.
He is absolutely outstanding. That's a team that just come out of nowhere, and they were buyers at the deadline, which is very rare for a team in that type of market. So, yeah, a team that's, like you said, power of friendship against the New York Yankees here.
And you're talking about Bobby Witt. I want to say he's maybe the best shortstop in
100%
the league right now. Like, he's incredible. His numbers are through the roof, and I'd like to see them push a game five here.
Yeah, it'd be nice. And the thing about for Bobby Witt, if Aaron Judge didn't exist, I mean, he'd be running away with the MVP, but you can't really deny the season that Aaron Judge has put together, and that's going to prevent Bobby from winning his first MVP. But I feel like there's plenty of hardware down the line. Really just the Royals is a story this year. They lost over 100 games last year and are now in the ALDS and really just two wins away from continuing their season. Let's move to the National League where, you know, it might be Grimace magic, it might be Hawk Tua magic. just the magic of the Mets is unbelievable, and they just managed to beat their arch rivals in four games, a team that many people, you know, all season long, it was like, it feels like this is the year that the Phillies get over the hump. You know, the Dodgers are good, but we can see clear holes. It's like, this is the Phillies year, and as I said, Grimace magic just came through. Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, that entire pitching staff of just, it's like an island of misfit toys for that pitching staff, but they're all putting together like career bests and Jose Quintana, Sean Manaea, whatever it might be. The Mets, this is an unbelievable story, and honestly, it's been really cool to follow.
Yeah, it's just kind of sad to see the Phillies kind of regress every year. They had the World Series, and they go on the NLCS, and they go on the NLDS. So it's just sad to see the regression year after year, especially with how much I love Schwarber. I really want to see him get that big ring. It's just, it seems like the window's kind of closed on that one. And to go on serious for a second, Ben, would you like to tell the crowd what your big purchase was earlier today?
The Grimace jersey. I found a way to get a custom Mets Grimace jersey. As I said, I've been enjoying this. I know the Mets are a big market team, but like, it's just, everything is just it's so unexpected. And I think the funniest thing of it all is just like the big purple mascot of McDonald's is the catalyst behind the Mets going from 11 games under 500 in June, and then all of a sudden it's like, we're the best team in baseball and we are 4 wins away from going to the World Series.
And it's just they keep up the trend with whoever beats the Brewers.
Another thing too,
they're making the trip possible. Even though I was hoping for the Phillies, they seem like the last 3-4 years they've fallen short every single time. But because I gotta show some love to Schwarbs, but the Mets might be back.
Yeah, and it's crazy because like 2 years ago, you know, they came in. So I think 2 years ago they made the playoffs, got smoked by the Padres, and then they were like, you know what, we're not letting this happen. We're gonna go sign Justin Verlander. And it was like, oh my God, they have a catalyst. Their top of the rotation is Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. They ended up being horrible last year, and we're like, you know what? We're going to pay for prospects. We're going to give up Max Scherzer, the Rangers, who ended up going to win the World Series. We're going to throw Justin Verlander back to Houston. And, like, majority of their payroll is all, like, they have one of the highest payrolls in baseball, which is, like, it's weird to think about, but I'm pretty sure, like, half their payroll isn't even on the team anymore. So it's, like, it really is kind of like a miracle run. And, yes, there's a lot of players that you know on that team, but it's still just, it's interesting to see how they've been able to turn it around and kind of become a likable New York team, which is weird, right?
I mean, I feel like New York's kind of getting a little likable. Like, who doesn't like the Knicks right now?
True.
That is true.
New York turnaround needs to be studied.
And AJ and Big Justice and the Riz.
We're not talking about that.
All right, just.
What I'm saying is Big AJ has more preseason points than Bronny James. let's just push that agenda on air. I know who I want building my team around.
All right, so let's get to this last series. To this point, no series has gone to a Game 5. It could happen tonight if the Guardians end up holding on or the Royals win, but we know there's one Game 5, and there's no two better words in sports. Game 5. No, for baseball it is. It's essentially Game 7 because the DSs are only a best of 5, so it's going to be Padres and Dodgers, and man, has this series just given some incredible cinematics for the sport of baseball. This is the series that baseball wanted. It's so marketable, and it's been so much fun.
It's been the Battle of California.
Yeah.
It's just, it's Hollywood, as you can put it. Like, you got Shohei Ohtani just breaking records on one side, and then you have Tatis, who is just phenomenal on the other side. And it's just the battle of the offenses.
Yeah, I mean, Tatis is so electric. He's must-see TV when he's playing. And I mean, Padres need to bounce back tonight. They lost 8-0 last time out. But this is a deep team. They have a deep roster. You know, Luis Arraez leading off for him is huge because he's the average guy. You know, hits for crazy average every year. But this Dodgers team, I mean, Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, a lot of stars in this matchup. And there's been a lot of drama as well. Back and forth, I guess, between both of these teams.
If you haven't been keeping up with the drama, there is a, this whole thing going on. There's like a Ken Rosenthal article that called Fernando Tatis a dancing peacock. Max Muncy said that
they were trying to like get under their skin. Yeah. They're bat flipping and everything.
Muncy said that by bat flipping on singles, that they're just trying to get under the Dodgers' skin. It's kind of like a big brother, little brother syndrome thing here. But if the Padres end up winning this series, that's 2 playoff series wins in 3 years against this Dodgers team. I mean, the Dodgers would have to take a serious look in the mirror because, yes, the Padres spent a lot of money. But, I mean, we talked about the Dodgers as this, like, Avengers-like team going into this year. And, you know, they were on the ropes last night. They answered back big time and managed to get it back to Dodger Stadium. But still, I mean, I just think everything the Padres have done, like, it almost feels like it's leaning their way come Friday night? I don't know.
They have a lot of holes in the roster. I think that's what's kind of been realized as the year's gone on. You pay Shohei $700 million, but you can't, you know, your starting rotation has been injured a ton this year. The bullpen has always kind of been a question mark for them. So they have a lot of holes in the roster, but I mean, it's leaning their way. They go back home tomorrow night. So I don't know. It's really tough to say what this matchup's going to look like, 'cause it's been so back and forth.
I mean, I like what you said about holes, because it really, that's like the biggest thing with the Dodgers this year is, I mean, we don't even know who's starting this game. It might be another bullpen game. I mean, they ended up winning yesterday, but, you know, for a team that has spent so much money, they ran a bullpen game out and, you know, somehow managed to get the win. I know injuries is a big thing. Glasnow's out. Kershaw's out. But still, it's just, I don't know. Let's just end with this. Who is winning tomorrow night between the Dodgers and Padres?
I'm all for Dodgers hate watch, so give me the Padres.
I will also go Padres. Sorry, Bram, if you're listening. I have a friend named Bram. He's a Dodgers fan. But I'm going to go Padres just because I feel like they're the underdogs and they deserve it.
I'm going Padres, too.
Okay.
I'm going Padres.
I know who I want, but I'm taking the Dodgers here. I'm not saying that. I'm doing the Bears thing right now.
I appreciate
it. I'm doing the Bears thing. So let's go Padres tomorrow. Next week when we come back on the Red Zone, I feel like there's going to be plenty of more baseball to talk about. Joe, you want to say something?
And just
really
quick, Zach McKinstry, a solo shot tied the game.
The Gritty Tigers, 2-2. We're definitely going to be keeping up with that one. When we come back on the Red Zone, we're going to be doing pick six. Stay right here.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Joey LeMaster, Jaden Cohn, and Connor Allen for another edition of Pick 6. It's a close battle right now in Pick 6 for basically everyone but the guests. So you guys got some work to do. But going over the standings, Julian is now in first place at 20-10. Steve just a game behind him at 19-11. And then meanwhile, me and Joey tied at 18-12. And the guest this year hasn't looked too good there, 15-15. So 500, you guys got some work to do. The way we're doing this, just to keep the standings the way it is, Connor and Jaden kind of agreed on mostly every pick. I know Connor's definitely going to say some things about that Cardinals-Packers game, but that's how we're going to do it, and they're just going to pick together and ultimately see what they come up with. So we'll start off with tonight's game, the 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. Steve is going with the Niners. Julian's going with the Niners. Joey, I'll kick it over to you. Where are you going with this one?
Let's keep the train going. I'm going with the 49ers. I had to talk to one of the Seattle Seahawks experts that we had last year in Kaylee, and she said they are the most fraudulent 3-2 team of all time, and I firmly believe that. I mean, barely scraping past the Patriots, the Broncos, and then beating a Dolphins team that did not have a starting quarterback technically. And just the 49ers, they're kind of due. The fact that they're 2-3 really just blows my mind. I know McCaffrey hasn't been there, but it's a really good football team, and I think this will be their statement win tonight.
Go ahead, Jane.
All right, me and Connor, we agreed to take the Niners. Connor, do you want to explain why?
Yeah, I mean, no Tariq Woolen tonight. Huge loss for the Seahawks. And I think, like you said, 49ers are due. That was a tough loss last week to the Cardinals. So we'll take the Niners for this one.
Jane, you got anything else you want to say about the Niners?
I think Mason has just been picking up sort of the slack for McCaffrey. It's, you got to feel bad for fantasy owners taking the number one pick on McCaffrey. But if you have a handcuff.
So I'm saying you got to draft your handcuffs, man. Mm-hmm. We just had that problem the other day in our fantasy league. Someone didn't draft Aaron Jones handcuff, so we had like a whole trade things going down. We had actually a trade go down today. It was like Austin Eckler and Zach Charbonnet like trade.
Just so a swap?
Because one has Kenneth Walker and the other one has Brian Robinson Jr. That's it was like a swap with, because we do Fab dollars for like our waivers. So the person that got Charbonnet got like 25 Fab dollars on top of it too. So
that's one of the most bored trades I've seen in my lifetime.
You gotta get your handcuffs, man. Julian's going with the Niners. I'm going with the Niners. Yeah, I kind of like what Kaylee said. It does feel like they're very fraudulent. It's been a weird season for them. You know, they got off to that 3-0 start, but, you know, losing to the Giants last week, and they didn't even have Neighbors, and I know it's weird to say that, but, like, Neighbors does make that much of a difference for the Giants. And we'll talk about the Giants in a little bit. But, yeah, I just think the Niners need a win bad. It feels like they've just gotten really poor luck in some of these losses. And to think that they're 2-3 is really weird. So it's going to end up being a pick five today because we're all going across the board with the Niners. All right, let's go to London Town. The Bears are headed to London to face residents of London, I guess you could say at this point, Jacksonville Jaguars. This is a big one, not only for the Bears, but I think it's big to keep building momentum for the Jaguars as well.
Yeah, it's a big day in it for the Chicago Bears. They're going to get a win. The Jacksonville Jaguars, I've kind of talked about it. They're not really good at the game of football, and this is why I wish Julian Voss was here, because every time we talk about Trevor Lawrence, he's like, I just don't think this guy's good. It always makes me laugh. Julian, still thinking about you. Come back soon, please. But yeah, no, Chicago Bears, they got this. I'm going to pick them every week because they're the best team in the sport of football. And it may be 8 a.m. They may not be used to this time switch, but they're locked in. My boys are going to be great.
Go ahead, Jaden.
We're going bear down, baby. Caleb Williams, last week, he looked comfortable out there. He, over 300 yards passing, and just looks like Chicago Bears offense is back. We're back, baby.
This is also a Jacksonville defense that gave up 360 yards to Joe Flacco last week.
Flacco slander is not tolerated on Red Zone.
That's a very okay.
We love Joe Flacco here.
You're right. We love Joe Flacco here, but still, I mean, that's a tough look for a 1-4 team. Trevor Lawrence very hot and cold. Bears are gonna take this one.
Steve is obviously going with the Jaguars because that's just how Steve is. And I'm also going with the Jaguars because, what did I say, Joey? I will take a pick six loss
so the Bears
gladly so the Bears win. Yes. I said the only team I wouldn't do it for was the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. We did that last week. I got to win. If the Bears win, I'm super excited, but I'm just going to take Jags because we are going to keep that trend going. It's 1-0 this season. 1-0.
Trust the process.
We're going to keep going with that. You know in my heart I want to pick the Bears, but we're going with the Jags. No reason at all. Shout out my brother Dom. He's a Jags fan. I don't know why, but he is. He's been like a lifelong Jaguars fan too. Like, I'm not even kidding.
Hey, Maurice Jones-Drew can do that to a man.
Cardinals and Packers. Cardinals, an incredible comeback victory last week over the 49ers. And the Packers, you know, Jordan Love, he hasn't looked the best since coming back from injury, especially in the first half of games, but then he just turns it on in the second half every single time. I think this is a big game. I think this is really like a coin flip. Joey, I'll start with you, but Steve is going with the Cardinals, and Julian is also going with the Cardinals.
Yeah, let's just keep the train going. I love the Arizona Cardinals so much. I just think the way they play football is so exciting. And with Jordan Love and the Packers kind of looking 50-50, I don't think they're prepared for the shootout that the Cardinals are going to bring. Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison, it's just an incredible show to watch. Give me the Cardinals.
We're also going to go with the Cards. Just because it's the Packers. And sorry, family, if you're listening. We don't like the Packers.
Mm-mm.
No, not Packers fans here. Yeah, Kyler Murray really looked good last week. Good comeback win over the 49ers. So I got to go with the Cardinals. I think it's just the best pick here. You know, Jordan Love has not looked great so far, so I'll go Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm going to go opposite of you guys. I love when this happens every single week because it feels like it always ends up winning for me. I don't know why, so take that as you will. But I'm going with the Packers. The NFC North is just so tough this year. I mean, they are like, it's just been great football all around. And, you know, you see the Vikings on their 5-0 and, you know, Green Bay's 3-2 and you think that might be flipped. Actually, wait, never mind. They won all their games with Malik Willis, so never mind. But, I've kind of talked about this Packers team all year. I think, you know, as much as I hate the Packers, they're a really solid football team, and I think they're just going to continue to win games. I mean, Jordan Love is, as much as, you know, the picks have been a problem and he hasn't looked amazing, every single time he just starts lighting it up in the second half. So, I'll take the Packers in this one. And we'll move on to Sunday Night Football, Bengals versus Giants. I don't know how this game was greenlit for primetime. I'm seeing a lot of games on the schedule that's like, that would have been much, much better. But, yeah, the Bengals are 1-4 to start the year. It has just really been unlucky, it feels like. Joe Burrow is throwing for like 300 yards a game, 5 touchdowns, and they're still managing to lose. So that defense is a major problem. Meanwhile, the Giants at 2-3, I think has caught a lot of people by surprise because Daniel Jones has actually looked pretty competent as a quarterback once again. It kind of just goes back to where he was at 2 years ago. So, Joey, I'll start with you. Steve is going with the Bengals, and Julian also going with the Cats.
Yeah, enjoy those Mickey Mouse 2 weeks, Daniel Jones. I'm just not moved by that stretch at all. And that's kind of how the Bengals story has been every season, where like they're just trash the first 3 weeks, and then they just start hooping. They're going to keep the momentum going. Give me the Bengals.
Yeah, we're going with the Bengals. We're going with the Bengals. All right.
Oh, there's a question.
I couldn't remember our pick, but yeah, we're going with the Bengals. Yeah, Joe Burrow has looked good. The defense has been a big problem, but if Joe Burrow is able to toss for 300 yards on what has been a questionable Giants defense, then this should be a win for the Bengals. But Malik Nabers, if he comes back, that game could be a little bit closer.
I'm praying he comes back because I got him in fantasy, so I really need him. And apparently he was at a Travis Scott concert last night with a concussion. Probably not the best place to go with a concussion. I'm also going with the Bengals. It's been a weird year for them, and I know we talk about like the slow starts, and it happens every time. This year just feels a lot different. Like they are getting extremely unlucky in the early parts of this season. Not necessarily, I wouldn't say the Bengals are getting unlucky because it's kind of their own fault that they didn't build a defense good enough. But I would say Joe Burrow and those boys on offense are getting unlucky. But, I mean, they got to get a win. You know, they are going to MetLife, so a hostile environment. But still, they need a win really bad. And I think they're much better than the Giants. So we're picking four this week because we all agree on two games. Let's do Monday night. Bills and Jets. Jets were the big storyline of this week when they fired their head coach, Robert Saleh. Nobody even knew it was coming. Well, kind of, I guess. I mean, you knew it was on the hot seat, but apparently he didn't know it was coming. He went into work just like any normal day and got escorted out by Jets security. I don't think that's a guy that you're going to want to be messing with to try and escort out. He would beat you up. The Bills, after starting the season 3-0, are on a two-game losing streak and looking for a big one. Why do we always get Bills-Jets on Monday Night Football? It feels like we've done this story for like 8 years at this point. Joey, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you guys about the infinite money glitch. Anytime a team fires their coach, they win the next game or they cover. It literally happens every time. Even when it's like the most mismatch of skill, they always just find a way. So I am rocking with the New York Jets. They're going to have a show. And I feel really bad for the Bills because it's the third week in a row where they've just been set up for it. They had two games in the past versus a team that was due for a win, and now they're going against the first team head coach method, so it's going to be the Jets.
We're going Bills.
Okay.
Just because it is a new coach, and you don't know how, I mean, it is Rodgers and that offense, but you don't know how the new coach is going to translate. You don't know.
I do know. They're going to win. I can't explain how. It may be an ugly 10-3, but it's just going to happen. I already know it.
No more Nathaniel Hackett calling plays for the Jets either. Todd Downing, which questionable choice for OC, but yeah, that no new coaching staff in there. We'll still take the Bills though, just because Josh Allen really good.
Joey made me flip. I love the Jets now. I really do. No reason behind it. I had to flip. I'm riding. Me and Joey are going to ride this one out together. All right. Our pick six game of the week as voted by on the fans. That one was voted on Instagram. We do this every week. Now it is the Lions and Cowboys. Steve going with the Lions, of course. Meanwhile, Mr. Julian Voss going with the Cowboys. I like it. But maybe I don't. All right, Joey, go ahead with your pick.
Yeah, I respect Julian's willingness to be great. However, I'm just not moved by the Cowboys this season. Give me the Lions.
Yeah, we're going to go with the Lions as well. Yeah, Cowboys not really doing much for either of us, so we'll go Detroit here.
Yeah, what a game on Sunday night with the Cowboys and Steelers. Cowboys ended up pulling that one out. I think I was the only one that picked the Cowboys,
That's
too.
That's correct.
So odds looking good for Julian because I'm going with the Lions. Lions offense is so much fun. What they did to the – I think they were on a bye last week, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
what they did to Seattle.
I mean, the Jared Goff touchdown pass. Amon-Ra is just cooking this year. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs are awesome. This team is so much fun. And Ben Johnson calling the plays. Dan Campbell, he'll do anything for that team. Yeah, I like them over the Cowboys here. All right, once again, that was another edition of Red Zone. Thank you, Connor and Jaden, for joining the show. It was a pleasure having you guys on.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you guys for having us on here.
Once again, we are live here every single Thursday at 6 p.m., so make sure to tune in every week and listen to our sports broadcast this week. We have one on Friday and two on Saturday, volleyball, football, and volleyball. Once again, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Red Zone.
This has been Red Zone.
Robinson with now drives inside, going to find Mary Clapton for her first three of the day, and it's good.
Curry owned the league last year, and personal awards and numbers.
We'll take off with you next Thursday at 6. For now, you can listen to any past broadcasts on WZND.com. Touchdown in 3, 2, 1.
JD has good fun.